In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Can you smell what the Josh is cooking?
Yes.
It's not meth.
Quite pungently.
Straight from work. I don't smell great.
But no, it's not meth.
No.
It's not meth. But today, we are talking about drugs.
Yeah, drugs.
Drugs. Okay, Josh, tell me, have you ever thought about going on like a spiritual healing vacation?
Kind of. I kind of have done, but not to the full extent. I thought you were going to say, Josh, have you ever thought about doing drugs?
I wouldn't be that blunt. I wouldn't put you on the spotlight like that.
No. Yes, I am actually quite interested in doing something like that to kind of filter out my brain and see what's really behind it. And do you know what I mean? Like explore what's making me tick and things.
What kind of spiritual healing vacation are you thinking of embarking on?
I don't know. I know I've heard of things.
All over South America, particularly like Peru and Chile and Brazil and stuff like that, you can go on these spiritual healing holidays or, you know, like a vacation type thing, and visit like indigenous tribes.
Yeah.
And shamans will give you a healing experience. Mm. And they do this using a brew of tea, if you like, but it's not tea, it's called ayahuasca.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah,
ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca can be made from many, many different plants, and they put it all in a pot and boil it up and make this tea out of it. The active ingredient is dimethyltryptamine. Okay, but they also have to put an extra ingredients in there to break down the DMT so it can be absorbed by the liver. But these are very intense experiences. I remember seeing a documentary a few years ago about a man who was like an explorer, that sort of thing. And he went out there to do this for a spiritual retreat. And they give him that 100% full treatment. Like, you know, they were force feeding him these leaves of stuff. I can't remember what the plants were called. But they all contain like the ayahuasca DMT. And it was kind of this full-on experience. They literally, like, force-feeding him it until he was, like, throwing up. It was coming out both ends, basically. Yeah. But he eventually had this hallucinogenic experience that he said changed him so totally that as soon as he got home, he said, I've got to make some changes to my life. There's people that I need to apologize to. And, you know, it was such a deep, intense experience for him. It changed him very, very spiritually.
Yeah, I believe that.
It does happen. A lot of people do go on these experiences and have these life-changing experiences. And particularly with like ayahuasca and DMT, it is one of the most potent hallucinogens known to humanity.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the indigenous people in South America always said that ayahuasca was a drink to bring the common people closer to the gods that normally only the shaman can communicate with.
Hmm, that's an interesting take on it.
It's a good theory, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah? And that is kind of the direction that we are heading in today.
Okay.
Is because, obviously, these indigenous people, they believe that when they go into this trip, this hallucinogenic experience, they actually meet their gods and they're able to converse with them. And, you know, other people or outsiders and, you know, people who are studying this for science and that consider them as entities. Not necessarily gods, but, I mean, that's what the indigenous people believe. But basically, I mean, that's the thing. If you're not one of those indigenous people and you're going out there for this spiritual experience, who are you meeting?
Yeah.
If you're not a believer in their gods, in their beliefs, who is it that you're meeting? Who are these entities?
I imagine, would it be kind of your own imagination and what you... You can only really go off of your brain, can't you? You can't really access information like other people's brains and thoughts. So it would have to be what you've already got in your brain stored.
Some people firmly believe that.
Mm.
Yeah, that... Yeah, it's just basically down to your own experiences being realised or visualised by DMT, the drug. Mm. So it is a complete sort of false experience.
Yeah.
But people who have actually tried it don't believe that. Or a lot of them don't, anyway.
So they've seen entities as well, even if they don't believe it?
Yes. Mm. One of the most common ones is elves.
I mean, they're real.
Yeah. If I just go through my notes a little
Santa's
bit.
Santa's little helper, and there's elves in the North Pole.
So there was a late American ethnobotanist, Terence McKenna.
I've heard of Terence McKenna.
Yeah, you've heard of him?
Yeah, I don't know why that name sounds so familiar. It's probably going to be what you're about to read. Yeah,
DMT, yeah. But yeah, he believed that the DMT beings, which he called machine elves, were real. Okay? And here's how he once described one of his DMT experiences. He said, after taking the DMT, he said, "I sank to the floor and I experienced this hallucination of tumbling forward into these fractal geometric spaces made of light. And then I found myself in the equivalent of the Pope's private chapel. And there were insect elf machines preferring strange little tablets with strange writing on them. And I was aghast, completely appalled, because in a matter of seconds, my entire expectation of the nature of the world was just being shredded in front of me, and I've never actually gotten over it. These self-transforming machine elf creatures were speaking in a coloured language which condensed into rotating machines that were like Fabergé eggs, but crafted out of luminescent superconducting ceramics and liquid crystal gels. All this stuff was just so weird and so alien and so un-Englishable that it was a complete shock. I mean, the literal turning inside out of my intellectual universe." So McKenna believed that these machine elves exist in alternate realities, which form a, quote, "raging universe of active intelligence that is transhuman, hyperdimensional, and extremely alien." But he was far from the first to believe that DMT is a doorway to other realms.
Mm.
And I don't think he'll be the last after you've completed this episode.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I have heard a few stories about people doing DMT and...
Yeah.
Having the same experience, if not really similar.
Yeah, yeah. There's plenty of them. In fact, we'll go into one of these scientific studies. So, yeah, in low doses, obviously, people often hallucinate just like the fractal patterns, the geometric shapes and that sort of thing. Much like your average trip if you were taking like LSD or magic mushrooms or something like that. I've never done DMT. I've done magic mushrooms. Mm-hmm. I grew up on the border of Wales, literally magic mushroom country. September, October time, we were all piled out to the fields and we knew where we were going. We knew what we were going for. You know, so, I mean, I guess that the lighter doses of the DMT would give you a similar sort of experience to that, you know. Mm. And I remember an ex-girlfriend of mine, when she experienced magic mushrooms for the first time, she called it being in a kaleidoscope, which I thought was quite a good description.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm the odd one out because a lot of people that I've spoke to about mushrooms have all had good experiences.
Yeah.
I've done mushrooms twice.
I've done them a lot more than that.
Sorry, Mum. But obviously my drug days are over now. But
same here.
I've done mushrooms. I haven't done them in years. And I've always had a bad experience with mushrooms. Like,
yeah.
The first time I was being like dragged to hell and there was all demons and things like
that. Oh, right.
And,
really bad experience.
Real like panicking and yeah, just paranoia and stuff. So I haven't touched mushrooms since really.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But I know you have done truffles in Amsterdam.
Oh, I love truffles.
Truffles are very happy things, aren't they?
It doesn't make sense that like they're kind of from the same family, aren't they?
Yeah, but the truffle is part of the mycelium that is under the ground.
Mm.
Oh, the mushroom is the exposed part that, you know, comes up out of the ground.
Yeah, no, I've had nothing but good experiences with truffles.
Yeah, fair
and
enough.
And I'll just say, before we go into it, that I've been a big believer of if someone's not sure of who they are or they've got problems or worries, I'm a big believer in go and do some truffles.
Yeah.
And it will change, obviously not as much as DMT or anything. But
yeah.
It, like, I was a very angry person with daddy issues. And
right.
Once I'd done truffles a few times with my mates in Amsterdam and things, it did change my perspective. And
yeah.
It was kind of like, why am I worrying about that? Why? It just put things in perspective, basically.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I love truffles. Big advocate for them. Don't drugs. Do drugs.
Drugs are bad, okay?
Drugs are bad, okay? Kids, don't do drugs.
Yeah, so what was I? So yeah, DMT. Obviously, a lot more powerful than mushrooms or truffles. It is, like I say, one of the most powerful ones.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been several studies into DMT. Obviously, like I say, for light doses, you get similar to like mushrooms and acid and that. But when you take a higher dose, generally, that is when people have these sort of hyperdimensional experiences. You know, that's when they start seeing entities. And I think this was in America. Yeah, in America.
Yeah. They sounds about right.
There was a survey. It was published in the Journal of Psychopharmacology. And the survey included responses from 2,561 adults about their single most memorable encounter with a being or beings, entities, after smoking or vaporizing DMT. DMT is an endogenous chemical, meaning the body produces it naturally, though it's currently like a class one drug in America, probably here in the UK as well. I don't know. I've not really looked into it.
Yeah.
Most of the respondents that had used DMT had used it about a dozen times in their life. So we'll say about an average of 10 times, 10 to 12 times. The survey excluded experiences in which people consumed other drugs alongside DMT. So if they were smoking weed or whatever at the same time, wouldn't include that. It also didn't include experiences with ayahuasca.
Okay.
Because it felt that it obviously is the same drug, DMT, but they were more concerned with like the purified version of the DMT.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the encounters produce an emotional response for 99% of them. This is 2,561 people. 99% of them said they had a very emotional response. The most common emotions were joy at 65%, trust at 63%, surprise at 61%, love at 59%, kindness 56%, friendship 48%. The negative was fear 41%, sadness 13%, distrust 10%, disgust 4%, and anger 3%.
Disgust at what?
I don't really know. It doesn't go into that. 58% of respondents said that the being also had an emotional response, almost always a positive one. That's the being that they encountered.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. It's more positive than it is negative.
Yeah, seems experience. To be. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They said that the encounters felt more real than reality. And this was true for 81% of them. Okay. 65, that's during the encounter, and 65% after the encounter. One respondent wrote, "There was an indescribably powerful notion that this dimension in which the entity and I convened was infinitely more real than the consensus reality I usually inhabit. It felt truer than anything else I'd ever experienced."
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah?
Yeah, because as you were reading that, I'm trying to think about the science behind it. Obviously, I'm not a scientist. Your brain controls everything you do.
Yes.
Like your brain is the number one. Is it an organ?
Yes, it's an organ. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm about to make a really smart point. No,
you say, it is pretty much the number one organ.
It's the number one organ. So if you've taken a drug that has changed your brain or opened your brain, of course you're going to think it's reality just as much as this is reality.
Yeah,
your brain's not going to be able to tell the difference, because when you're going through a trip, and maybe some of it is personal experience, but there's not really that thing that's telling you, don't worry, you're on drugs. Like,
no. I'd take that guy that you were talking about earlier. It wasn't DMT.
Salvia.
Yeah, Salvia. Yeah, what was his name?
Ari Shaffir.
Ari Shaffir, that's him. And he took a Salvia trip, didn't he? This is one of the most best documented Salvia trips, I think, in history.
Yeah, you can find this anywhere on social media.
It all happened within 10 minutes. But for him, he described living like 6 months in his underwater kingdom, where he was breathing water, he had a family, he had job, he had friends and everything. And then obviously came back to reality.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, like, his friends or whatever, when he was starting to come round, offered him a drink of water so he could drink it. And he was like, well, he spat it back up, because he was like, no, you don't drink water, you breathe it.
Yeah.
That's how altering it can be. I mean, obviously, salvia is not DMT. It's very similar, a very intense experience. But, I mean, DMT could probably do something similar as well, I would imagine.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
People describe the entities in different ways. The most commonly chosen labels were being at 60%, guide at 43%, spirit 39%, alien 39%, or helper 34%. Other labels, ranging between 10 and 15%, include the terms elf, angel, religious personage, plant spirit, and a very few report in the terms gnome, monster, or a deceased person.
Ugh. No, I feel bad for the people getting that.
Yeah. Also, a lot of other people have described jesters,
okay,
which are mischievous beings that may or may not tell the truth.
Yeah.
Angels, demons.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, dragons might be one of them. Aliens, we already just said aliens, but very, very much alien contact. And the last one, which was not on this on my notes, but I remember it, was an undefinable being.
Okay.
Something that they couldn't define. It was just like a pure energy being. It didn't necessarily have a shape or form, but they were still able to communicate with it.
Like the cloud from Lost or something.
Yeah, something like that maybe, yeah.
Oh, spoiler if you haven't seen Lost.
You won't have to watch a lot of Lost to, to find the cloud being.
That makes sense.
Excuse me, I just choked on my drink there.
Did you say undefinable?
Undefinable, yeah.
Okay, so that could be anything, like shadows, could be...
Yeah, energy beings, you know, something that doesn't actually have a shape or form.
So, oh, so it could be like a beaming light or something.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That is possibly why some people believe that they are speaking to God, you know?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. What a trip.
Most people said the beings weren't hallucinations. About 3/4 of respondents said they believe the being was real, but exists in some kind of different dimension or reality. Only 9% said the being existed completely within myself. You know, it's a complete reflection of my own thoughts and my own experiences. Mm-hmm. Most describe the beings positively. When asked about the attributes of the entity, a majority of the sample reported that the entity was conscious, 96%, intelligent, 96%, benevolent, 78%, sacred, 70%, had agency in the world, whatever that means, 54%, and was positively judgmental, 52%. Fewer reported that the entity was petitionable, 23%, negatively judgmental, 16%, or malicious, 11%. Like I said, the jesters and the demons, you know, people do experience some of these entities as having some negative sort of effects to them.
I wonder if some of that is down to your frame of mind when you go into these things.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Like if you're quite a negative person, or you've already got bad thoughts and you go into this with those bad thoughts, I wonder if that affects the...
I think it can, yeah. And like you said earlier about you didn't respond positively with mushrooms, but you did with truffles. We always said, me and my friends when I was growing up, it's all about the people that you've got around you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't trust the people that you're with when you're doing mushrooms or doing some kind of hallucinogenic drug, the chances are you're going to have a bad trip.
Mm. Yeah. I think mine was possibly because it was an unknown or unfamiliar place.
Right.
So okay. It was kind of like, if something does go wrong, how am I going to get home? Where am I going to go?
Panic, so that, like, yeah.
I see what you mean, though. Yeah. That makes sense.
Most received a message during the encounter. About 2/3 of respondents said they received a message, task, mission, purpose, or insight from the entity encounter experience. What kind of messages, I hear you say?
Oh, what kind of messages, man?
Some people were shown that death isn't the end, that everyone and everything is connected. Others had personal insights revealed to them, such as bad behaviors that they should stop.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Some messages were strangely practical. One respondent said that beings revealed the location of a Zippo lighter that had been missing,
oh, come
buried
on.
Deep in a couch. Go figure. There was also a respondent who said a being was teaching me the rules and regulations of the NFL.
Oh, come on. No. That just makes it stupid. Like, I can't understand that bit.
Additionally, approximately one third, or 36%, of the respondents reported that before the encounter, their belief system included a belief in ultimate reality, higher power, God, universal divinity, but a significantly larger percentage, 58% of respondents, reported this belief system after the encounter. What's more, 89% of respondents said that the encounter led to lasting improvements in well-being or life satisfaction. The researchers suggested that the ontological shock, the state of being forced to question your worldview, might play an important role in the enduring positive life changes and attitudes and behaviour attributed to these experiences. As such, it is possible that under appropriate supportive set and setting conditions, DMT could show promise as an adjunct to therapy for people with mood and behavioural problems. For example, depression and addictions.
I wonder if that would help with PTSD as well.
Might do, yeah. Yeah, it might do.
That's very interesting to me as well, because it's weird how we don't legalize certain drugs, even though they've been proven to help with certain things like epilepsy and stuff like that. But you could trust a pharmaceutical company to come out with a pill that has more side effects, and it will temporarily sort out the problem, but then it could affect you later on down the line. Whereas I think it is LSD helps with epilepsy.
Yeah.
And it baffles me that they don't do more trials and more things with it and legalize certain drugs or aspects of these drugs when they're really beneficial to people.
Yeah.
It's odd. Very odd.
Yeah. I mean, also, a lot of them actually found spirituality after taking the DMT. So where a lot of them were atheists before. I'm looking for the percentage here, and I don't think I've actually copied it down. But it did say somewhere that a certain percentage of them beforehand were atheists.
Mm-hmm.
And I think something like 20% converted afterwards.
Yeah.
To having some kind of belief system.
I mean, you would if you saw all of that crazy stuff.
So let's go into a bit more science.
Go on, then. Can I have some more science, please, Pirate?
Yeah. Okay, so there was a study published recently in the Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences. A doctor called Timmerman and a team of researchers described their efforts to see what this quintessentially human experience looks like in the brain, as no research has ever revealed it before. So they recruited 20 healthy people who on two different occasions received either highly potent intravenous dose of DMT or a placebo while having their brain scanned with functional MRI and the brain waves recorded through an EEG machine, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that both of these technologies have been used parallel to each other. Yeah, no one's ever done it before.
Interesting.
And they were doing it while people were on DMT.
Mm-hmm.
A quote from Timmerman, "This approach offers a more important advancement because it enables the direct observation of changes in neural activity, the EEG machine, in parallel with the indirect changes seen through the MRI, blood oxygen level dependence signals and stuff like that." Timmerman and his colleagues were rewarded with some remarkable views of the DMT-altered brain. They witnessed its business-like hierarchical organization collapse, replaced with a state of global hyperconnectivity. Brain entropy, defined as the number of neural states a given brain can access, and that skyrocketed. So basically, how the human brain works is it's modular. Yeah, so you'll have like memories will be in one part of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything that you see will be in another part. Everything you hear, your emotions will be a different part, you know, all that sort of stuff. But under DMT, all those modules just broke down into one thing. It was the brain was working as one complete entity, and they were like neural pathways. Obviously, you know what neural pathways are, don't you? You know what
I mean? Oh yeah.
but neural links and pathways were opening up where they normally aren't. You know, so people's brains were making connections that they wouldn't normally do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen films and heard theories that, you know, the humans only actually use, what, 10 to 20% of their brain, something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, yeah.
What would we be capable of if we were able to use more of it?
Mm-hmm.
This seems like a way of doing that to me. From this study, because, like I say, how else can you explain that people find this like hyper reality within their hallucination, you know? Why do people think that these entities are actually real, more real than actual reality? Mm. Is it possible that DMT altering your brain's chemical functions and those neural pathways actually gives you access to that higher dimension?
Now we're talking.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so even after you've done DMT, the brain would have already switched things around
yeah.
and created different pathways. So even after the drug, I imagine your brain would almost be like revived in a way. It would yeah. be like just functioning different.
It'd be like sort of opening your third eye, if you like, to paraphrase.
Opening
yourself up to these different experiences and like a different way of thinking, a different way of looking at the world, a different way of experiencing it. And even though it may only be for 15 minutes or half an hour at a time, you know, does DMT actually access that dimensional doorway? Are these entities real?
I mean, for people to have such similar experiences, in some cases the same.
Very much. Though this is not in my notes, but while I was researching, I came across a channel on YouTube called Tales from the Trip.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually extracts from a TV program in America, in the States. I'm not sure what channel that's on. Maybe someone could tell me. I don't know. But you can find it on YouTube. And there was a guy who, he was in like three different videos with his DMT trip.
Mm-hmm.
And in his first video, he described, he's obviously done DMT a lot. And he described going into the trip world, and he's seen these elves for himself and made friends with them, and they all know him and that. Like, and he said quite often he'll end up at a place called the Carnival
mm-hmm.
while he's in there. And while he was in the Carnival, he met a purple gypsy woman, and they became friends, and they became slightly more than friends.
Mm-hmm.
They started sort of having a relationship, all while he's under the influence of DMT, obviously. And then I think it was in another video, he explained how one of his friends wanted to try DMT. So he held off on that time. He gave his friend a hit of DMT, and his friend described pretty much exactly the same thing. He said he went to this place, so he could see the carnival in the distance, but he could also see all these little elves, but they were all hiding from him, hiding behind trees, behind rocks and all that sort of thing. And he was like, oh, the elves are all this sort of thing.
Mm.
And so Sean, the original guy with the purple girlfriend, he was looking after his mate, obviously, while he was having his trip.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just sort of said, yeah, mate, you all right? And all these elves started popping out from behind the trees and behind the rocks and stuff. And we went, oh, is that Sean? And this guy was like, yeah, yeah, he's my mate. He's on the outside just looking after me. And they were like, oh, yeah, he comes here all the time. If you're his friend, then you're our friend and that sort of thing. So they took him to the carnival, and he went to meet this purple gypsy woman, and she introduced herself and said, yeah, no, I'm Sean's girlfriend here in this realm. And he literally described it all exactly the way that Sean had described it.
That's odd.
How does that work?
Yeah, for there to be like a common link there. Could it be dimensional?
It could be.
Because I've also heard stories...
It also goes one step further, actually, because over the months and years that this was taking place, obviously, Sean actually found himself a real-life girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
and she was a bit of a hippie as well. They did, like, mushrooms and stuff and whatnot. And then eventually she wanted to try DMT, And he, rather than giving her the shot like he did with his friend, he just showed her how to do it. I think he put it in like a like a crack pipe style thing and smoke it that way. And he did a hit of this DMT, went under, and his purple gypsy girlfriend showed up, and she was not happy that he'd found a real life girlfriend. She was really, really jealous. And he, in the end, I think in the video, he was saying like, "Well, you know, why do I need this purple gypsy girlfriend? She only shows up half the time." You know, and it's always in an alternate reality. You know, I need something in my real life.
Yeah.
You know, so he kind of broke up with her. But yeah, it's mental, isn't it? That more than one person can have that exact, and I mean exact same experience in the same place, speaking to the same entities.
Yeah, that's the, that's one of the stories that I've heard about is these purple aliens or beings, people having trips, and they're all seeing the same... skin tone, the same shape of the ears, the face, they all look the same. Yeah, it's
well, that's the thing. You see, on the with the scientists that were doing all these experiments and stuff, one of the questions that they asked was why do people report discrepancies? Like, I mean, obviously these two people that I just discussed, that they had very, 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 almost 100% similar experiences, identical. But like this other guy, that that Dr. Terence, what is his name? Terence McKenna. He described the elves as being mechanical. And scientists were like, well, if everybody described them exactly the same, then we'd believe that in the multidimensional theory, but there are discrepancies. The thing is, when you're thinking of higher dimensions, like I kind of explained this to you earlier, is you have to think from the perspective of the lower dimension. It's like if I hold my hand up so the light shines, casts a shadow on the table, my hand is three-dimensional, but the shadow is two-dimensional.
Yeah.
So the shadow is a two-dimensional representation of my three-dimensional hand. Yeah, now a fourth dimensional or fifth dimensional, or, you know, some kind of higher dimensional being, the chances are we wouldn't be able to perceive what they actually look like.
Right.
So all we're perceiving is our own interpretation of that. So there are going to be discrepancies. You can only perceive what you've had an experience of yourself. You know what I mean? Through your own experiences, that's how it would manifest itself.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, I understand. It's odd.
It's a mind-boggler, isn't it?
It is. It's one of them subjects where, I mean, I've got no interest in doing DMT. Like, I think I've reached the age now and my wife would kill me. So I can't do it.
I got to admit, I'm a little curious.
So I'd love to hear from someone, like through email or whatever, if they've actually done DMT and if they saw these same beings that we've spent describing and things. But yeah, it's odd because we can't say because we haven't done it. We can only go by other people's stories and
exactly,
and what's happened.
So I've done plenty of different concoctions of narcotics, but DMT is not one of them. Like I say, I'm 43 now. Those days are long behind me.
Yeah, I just think I'd be too. No, I wouldn't say scared's the word, but like because I'm very hesitant about that kind of thing. Like even just thinking about like even when you just think about the stuff that you used to do when you were younger. Like like driving and smoking and stuff. Like, obviously the laws have changed and everything, but I look back on that and I think, I can't believe I did that when I was 17.
Smoke weed and drive.
But now I'm kind of looking at those situations. I'm like, oh, I couldn't even imagine doing DMT now. Like, my brain can't, I don't even think I can handle that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say his name. I've got a very good friend who done acid not too long ago, maybe a couple of years ago. And to everyone else in the room, he was just sat in the chair. But he came out of it with all kinds of things going on, like shapes, colours, like hallucinations. I can't even say the word.
Hallucinations.
So it's confusing to me how the brain can do so much.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, not to keep waffling on about nothing, but that's the other thing that gets my attention is I would be worried that if I did DMT, that I would leave the house and walk into traffic and end up in a horrible situation. But the logic thing in my brain says, oh, well, surely you are just kind of sat there and it's all in your head. But
yeah, well, I think it is. Yeah, I'm not sure if you could even actually get up and walk while you're on it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But imagine it's an all-encompassing thing that, yeah, you literally, you are just sat there, but your mind is in another world.
Yeah. And then whams, because I always heard the story as well, like the first person that discovered acid touched it and then instantly was like in a mental home for the rest of his life.
Quite possibly, I don't know.
Because it was so strong. I don't know how true that story is.
I don't know.
But I've heard some stories about people doing acid and they've just never been the same, or they've done DMT or other drugs and it has changed their life.
Yeah, it can do. The acid's quite a dirty drug, isn't it?
It sounds dirty, doesn't it? But a couple of my mates have done it and it's been a bit life-changing for them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've got no interest in it, but it's very interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How believable do you think it is? I mean, we're nearly at the end now, so we might as well put it to the paranormality scale.
Oh, man. The fact that it's very similar, stories can be the same with a few discrepancies. They keep describing entities and gods and things like that. I think it's very possible it could access a different dimension. We don't know the universe, we don't know how anything works.
Don't know what the capabilities of the human brain are.
Yeah, especially with the fact that, like you said, we only use 10-20% of our brains or whatever. Who knows? So I like it. I'm gonna give it a 7.9.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's quite decent. Yeah,
yeah, I'm gonna get 7.9.
I didn't think you'd go that high, to be honest.
No, because I appreciate
it. I like
it
a little bit more. I was thinking of the low eights, so I'll say 8.25.
Okay. That's specific. I like it.
And I'm not even going to bother trying to do the average on that one. Oh,
allow me. 8.075.
Yeah, I think it is actually 8.075.
Don't think about it.
No, it would just mess my brain. And brain's already messed up enough from this episode. But no, I really like it. I mean, I am kind of torn on whether it's real or whether it's all just your own experiences that you're reflecting onto yourself. But I would like to think that, considering how many people have reported such similar stories, and like I say, those two American guys that literally met the same beings, the same entities that were introducing it and conversing about knowing the other person.
Yeah, yeah. And it's actually getting to a point now as well where celebrities are starting to pay thousands of pounds to go down to South America and do ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah.
To unlock mysteries and
having these spiritual retreats is quite fashionable. And ayahuasca and DMT and that, it is sort of spreading in popularity throughout North America, Europe, Australia, and that sort of thing. It is becoming more widespread. The indigenous people of South America really don't like that. Mm-hmm. The shamans are like, no, this, we should contain this. You need to do it properly.
Yes, yeah.
You need to have that spirit guide with you, sort of thing, you know, while you're doing it, while you're having these experiences.
Yeah.
Or you could lose your mind, sort of thing.
Which is why I've heard of some shamans going to North America and setting up their own retreats and things, because it doesn't offend the people in South America, but it's also a way of these people that are getting more interested in it being able to do it and not having
doing
to go
it safely under it in a controlled environment. Yeah,
it's pretty nuts. There's definitely some truth behind it.
The ancients knew things that we don't know. And let's face it, the indigenous people of today, they're as close to the ancients as what we can get.
Yeah. Didn't the Native Americans smoke, was it peyote or something?
Peyote, yeah.
That would have done something, surely. Probably. Maybe they were onto something that we didn't know.
Yeah.
But drugs are bad, okay? So
yeah, don't do drugs, kids.
We're not promoting drugs, but we're just having a conversation about it, really. Mm. So
I thought it was interesting. Just because I think the other day when we were at work, you said you'd seen something on the DMT studies and whatnot, and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to cover that for an episode. So we're not condoning the use of DMT, but if you have used DMT, please write in. Tell us your experiences. Tell us how you find it, whether you encountered entities or whether it changed your life in any deep and meaningful way, whether you find religion or you find spirituality through it. We're interested. I guess that's kind of it, really. You can you send in your emails to paranormality.uk@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok,
all sorts of social media. All sorts,
yeah. You can join our Discord,
which is where
we love people to join more Discord. Or you can join our Patreon if you feel like you had enough of the adverts and you'd like to pay £2 a month to get rid of them so you can hear all our stuff just like a day earlier and without adverts. We'd really appreciate it. That would make our day. But you don't have to. No obligation. And
put up with the adverts.
And until next week, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.